Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PPC Show, brought to you by AdStage. I am Paul Wicker.
I'm JD Prater.
And today is August 9th. These are your top headlines in paid marketing. And this week, I'm coming to you live from the AdStage Hackathon, where I'm supposed to be building some crazy stuff, but instead I'm doing the PPC Show.
As you should, you know, as you should.
Priorities.
That's right.
I also had scheduled a lunch and learn. So at AdStage, we do lunch and learns where you remember when you were here. And I think when you were here, I did one on beer. It doesn't have to be about like marketing or ad tech or technology, which they often are, but I like to mix it up. So I did a lunch and learn about, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago on beer, how to make beer, history of beer, and then a beer tasting. And then it was a wild success. So this time I followed it up with whiskey tasting.
Hmm.
So I just wrapped up my whiskey tasting lunch and learn, where we tasted six different whiskeys, and we ended with a 120 proof single malt. So if this turns into drunk history, now you know.
I was wondering why your cheeks were so flushed, Paul. Oh, wow.
Right. Well, this it's also very warm in San Francisco.
It's warm in here. any favorites come out of that six?
Well, actually, the single malt 120 proof is not great. It was supposed to be heavily peated. You know, peat bogs in Scotland is what they use to make that typical Scottish whiskey, scotch taste is peat. But this one was not super great. Probably the favorite was the Nika coffee grain whiskey, which is very popular in the bars here as well. It's a Japanese whiskey.
Japanese.
And coffee refers to the type of still used to distill the whiskey. Mm. It has nothing to do with coffee like you drink coffee.
Oh, that's interesting. I remember, I think Gail introduced me to that one. Again, a former AdStage employee, bringing it all back full circle.
Right. So, if you're into trying whiskeys, you should try Nika, N-I-K-K-A. They have a ton of great Japanese whiskeys. And the and you can sound smart to all your friends when they're like, oh, is that coffee grain? You're like, no, it's a grain whiskey as opposed to a malt whiskey. And it's made with a coffee still as opposed to a pot still. That's why it's called Nika Coffee Grain Whiskey.
Cool. The more you know. I like that one.
Yeah, it's also good marketing because there's a lot of grain whiskeys and they pretty much all use coffee stills. So it's just put some fancy words into something that everyone's already doing and branding. Speaking of branding, there's some brands that are having a rough week or two. Ooh. Twitter and Facebook both getting just privacy, or I guess data leaks, privacy issues one after the other. Twitter. Well, so Twitter has two sides of data sharing coin, I guess. One, turned out they leaked some personal ad targeting data. Specifically, it was like location data.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a bug, they said, and they accidentally would share account location data with one of the Twitter ad partners. They did not specify who, but it was one of the like RTB bidding folks. So they were telling somebody your location when they weren't supposed to. And then they also announced on the other side of the coin, they're removing some of the third-party targeting options from Twitter. I think they were powered by like Axiom or Datalogic, where in Twitter you could target like people in market for automobiles. And in some cases, those were third-party segments. That has nothing to do with privacy. It just happened to come out at the same time. But it was enough that they can kind of sound like they're taking action by removing a partner from Twitter, even though it has nothing to do with their data leak.
I like that they announced on a blog post on its help center. Like, wow, you guys are like trying to bury the lead, right? I mean, man, good luck trying to find that one. But thankfully, the journalists out there are definitely staying and monitoring the help center. So thank you guys so much. But the first one around with the Twitter, it's like, if you clicked or viewed an advertisement for a mobile application and subsequently interacted with that mobile application since May 2018, some of your data may have been shared, including country code, if you engage with the ad and want information about it. So again, like this is, I mean, of all the leaks, this one isn't terrible, like country code, but it just also just goes to show that we're not perfect, right? There's always some kind of leak. There's always something kind of getting out there. And then, ultimately, Twitter's like, we're just going to shut some of this stuff down with that third-party data, which I thought was a really interesting move. Do you think this was kind of in light of like what's happening with Facebook and their third-party data?
I mean, possibly. I have a feeling no one really wanted to use those segments, because I remember when we used them, 6-7 years ago, before I was at AdStage, like they weren't very good. So, yeah. And they pay, Twitter has to pay money. Every time you use one of those third parties, Twitter pays money to that third party to use it. So it probably just didn't make money. And it just so happens that it could be a little bit of good PR for the privacy. But I also didn't realize, this is me being a bad informed American, that the only location data they leaked was your country. Because, I mean, come on. Who cares then?
Yeah, I mean, it's, that one I could care a whole lot less. Right. Like state, okay. But you could tell me like in my city, in my state, okay. But like country, I mean, that one's pretty obvious. You
yeah,
know?
And in this day and age, when I hear location data, I think of like, you know, Google knows where I'm standing right now. So, yeah. Okay, I'm less offended by your Twitter. Facebook, on the other hand, you thought Cambridge Analytica was bad. Well, history repeats itself. So there's another partner. This one's called Hyper with a 3 instead of an E because they're cool. Which is called LeetSpeak. Have you heard of this? L-E-E-T, but of course use 3s instead of E's. When you replace letters and numbers and try to talk like a hacker bro, it's called LeetSpeak. I learned that from our hacker bros here this week.
Oh, I learned that too. All right, cool. Good to know.
So they had another one of these breaches where, unknown to Facebook and Instagram, that this partner has been collecting and storing location and other data on millions of users against the policy, and it's gone on for years without any intervention by the platform. So basically, Cambridge Analytica again.
Yeah, I mean, and what was kind of crazy with this one too is like kind of what you were saying, like years, the platform didn't know. So either, again, what they're stating is just either they were ignorant or they were complicit. And you don't really want to be either one of those. But yeah, this one's kind of crazy. And it was also, this one came out from Business Insider. And according to the article, Business Insider informed Instagram that this company had violated its policies. It wasn't even Instagram saying, hey, we caught this. It was, hey, this is what, you know, we're seeing. Can you confirm this? And they're like, oh, yeah, actually, you know what? You're right. They are doing bad things. This is violating our policies. You're gone. Wow.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too, where it doesn't sound that bad because this app, the app was something for like when you went to an event like a baseball game, this partner would be able to target you with ads. And you probably had to opt in, you know, like go to the baseball game and opt in to get this prize or something. And they'd send you some messages. And you're like, oh, that was cool. I was at the baseball game. I didn't win. I move on with my life. But of course, once you gave it permission, it was able to get your location, know where you were, but also had access to all the objects in your... So it had access to your photos and your location data. So what started as like, oh, I'm just letting them know I'm at this baseball game, is, oh, no, I'm actually giving them access to photos, which then they can scan and use, you know, machine learning to figure out who's in the photos, where you are, what you're doing. So something that sounds pretty... like no big deal can turn into suddenly they're building a profile on you with your Facebook data.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, man, wow. It just makes you like rethink all those like API partners in what they're doing. Right. It's kind of scary out there. And I really hope they take this a little bit more seriously and do some more internal audits. As we go through, as we saw with Cambridge Analytica now, almost like a year and a half ago. So you would have thought that this would have been part of an internal audit that would have got caught within that year and a half. But again, a fact that you had to be told by like Business Insider, which is not even like that great of a publication. I mean,
it's not like the New York Times investigation team or something.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also crazy because the photos, I don't know if I made this clear, were stories. So people also think like, oh, on Instagram stories or Facebook stories, you know, these things are, they're gone. That's the whole point. They're fleeting. They're not part of my profile. Well, they are, because this company, every story you published, they stored and saved. So, crazy. One day they'll learn, Facebook. And if they don't learn on their own, they'll learn because they're going to continue to get fined. And in fact, they're facing another lawsuit, billions with the B, in potential damages around face recognition. So, there's apparently something called the Biometric Information Privacy Act, meaning you can't store people's biometric data without their permission. And someone is claiming that by collecting and storing photographs, Facebook has broken that. And specifically the facial recognition feature that they put on top of your photographs. So, and now they're being sued.
Yeah, with a unanimous decision from the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. So even if you thought, oh, they might get like a friendly court, I mean, this is San Francisco, a lot of tech here. The judges unanimously said, nope, let's move it on. Like, you can proceed. So I think they're going to get another lawsuit happening, probably in the billions, like you said. Hopefully this time, maybe they'll wake up. I don't know. I think maybe they just keep paying them off until someone's actually going to do something about this.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, I didn't read the details of the lawsuit, but like, because I know a lot of photo services do facial recognition without permission. Like, even in iPhoto, I don't know what they call it anymore, Apple Photos. Yeah, one day it's like, oh, I categorized all your photos. Here's, you know, maybe you like name it once, and then it's like, here's all the photos of your girlfriend and your dad. And so other people are doing facial recognition, too. Maybe it's the way they're doing it.
Yeah. I think that was kind of it. I mean, as one journalist in Slate noticed, like, Facebook may already have the world's largest database of faces. And that's something that should maybe concern regulators and privacy advocates. So yeah, we'll see.
All right. So now we have, moving out of the privacy world, we do have a very tactical Google story about them changing the meaning of variants. Well, close variants. You talk about this one. too much whiskey to talk about match types.
We all love some match types, and we missed this one a couple of weeks ago, and it was one that I just forgot to throw in on the podcast. But close variants. We saw this come out with the exact match. You know, Google said, you know, oh, like maybe like 5% more or something like that. In accounts that I looked in, it was really that exact match. They were adding about 10% lift, right? And so, again, that's exact match, and maybe that's not the 10% that I wanted, you know, give or take. But again, they're trying to use that quote-unquote machine learning, get that intent on the right keywords. Well, they're now adding it to phrase match and broad match modifiers, which is huge. I mean, that essentially says, like, there is no more match type, really, if you're just going to be matching to these close variants. And you're going to get the same intent, though. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, the examples that they had, like, for example, if you were bidding on broad match modified lawn mowing service, after this update, grass cutting and gardening services or rates for services that cut your grass might get, you know, triggered for that. Well, let's say you did phrase match lawn mowing services, and now you might get local lawn cutting services or grass cutting services near me. And they're saying, but no, it's the same intent. And I just, you know, with what they also said was like, well, look, 15% of search queries are new every day. You're just missing it. And man, it's just taking less control. If you ask me, it's going to be that marginal gain in revenue for them.
15% of new searches are new queries. That sounds like
a lot.
Misspellings. Just people fat fingering things. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
They're trying to justify making all these things looser. In their defense, like, I wonder, we've talked many times about, like, keyword bidding is just kind of like a dying technique because they have so much more powerful data to use to figure out your intent than just what you type in that, you know, maybe it's better to use less keyword targeting. But on the flip side, it's like such a strong signal of intent. Like, when you go to Google and you search lawnmower service or lawn cutting service, like, it's such a strong signal. Like, you don't need to know anything about me if I'm telling you I'm looking for this. Now, you don't know why I'm looking, and you don't know if I'm ready to buy and my income bracket and all that stuff. Well, they probably do on top of all that. So that's where maybe it's like, just people who are going to get their lawns cut at some point, you'll just choose that and Google will do whatever magic to, like, you know, plug into people's brains and be like, Bob is thinking about hiring a new landscaper. So we served him your ad.
I know. I mean, it's insane. And they did a great job of messaging this. It's, hey, advertisers, you don't want to miss out on any new queries because you are too tightly controlling your account. Or, hey, we can infer intent and we can help you from creating exhaustive keyword lists, right? And you're like, are you though? Are you really helping me? Thanks.
Well, and I was joking about Google sending ads to your brain, but in another story we didn't put in here, I saw Google's now added AR to Google Maps. So when you're using, like, navigation on Google Maps now, you can just hold your phone up in front of your face and use, you know, the camera in the back is on, so you can kind of see where you're going with the overlay of the map on top of it. So even though I say pump them ads directly in your brain. They're getting close. As soon as that screen just gets connected right to your face, you'll just get the ad right there. Crazy. I think that's it. And then we've decided to do wins and fails.
Yeah.
Because we copy the pivot. Yeah, okay, so we're going to do wins and fails. So
let's do it.
What's your win for the week, JD?
My win. I know how much Paul loves Twitch, so I was including this for him. But one of the biggest influencers, his name is Ninja. He's a Fortnite player, is leaving Twitch to join Mixer. It's all about Mixer now. So Mixer is owned by Microsoft. You probably have never heard of it, but here's what's crazy. So Mixer, before Thursday, was ranked 747th in the App Store. He then makes the switch over, makes the announcement, and it becomes the 12th most popular app. It went from 747 to number 12, and it's currently ranking number 3 in the App Store for free apps. It's surpassing YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. How crazy is that?
Wow. Ninja is a ninja.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, man, I need to get some real like influencers and be like, come into Quora.
Well, yeah, on Twitch, you live stream as you play video games, as you probably don't know. But that's what happens on Twitch. And this guy, I remember when Fortnite first came out. So I don't know in my defense or not, but I've never actually played Fortnite. But this guy, Ninja, is like the most popular Fortnite player ever. And they did some like event where he played and like some record is like some 100 million people streamed the event or something that was more popular than the Super Bowl. So even though you think, and I think, like, how does this one person moving? But this is, he's like a mega celebrity. It's like if Ronaldo changed teams, I think. I don't know soccer very well. But like if LeBron James, when LeBron James moves from Cleveland to Miami and their ticket sales go up by 100x and everybody becomes a fan and then he leaves and goes back to Cleveland and then he goes to LA and everybody buys Lakers jerseys. He's like the LeBron James of his industry of live streaming. So when he goes to Mixer, everybody goes with him. Great move by Microsoft. They must have paid this guy a fortune.
Yeah, and good for, and my win really is to him. Like, take the money. I love it. Take that money, get over there to Microsoft Mixer. Look at you mixing it up.
Yeah, anyway. We're talking about it. So good job, Microsoft and Ninja. My win goes to LinkedIn, which is owned by Microsoft. So apparently we're just piling wins on Microsoft properties. I read a really good New York Times article about how we don't hear about LinkedIn in social media in all the headlines. And you have Twitter and Facebook just constantly being in the news for doing terrible things. And meanwhile, LinkedIn has stayed a pretty, like, a reasonable place to go on to and share content without feeling like you're in, you know, a crazy place. And they kind of say it's not really LinkedIn doing anything. It's just the fact that it's a professional audience. When you share information, you kind of use that filter of would I share this with my boss or my coworkers? And that naturally prevents you from going on there and being like, you know, liberals are idiots or conservatives are all crazy because you're like, oh, it's like my work personality, not my in the basement drunk by myself eating Cheetos personality, which seems to come out on Twitter. LinkedIn?
Well, I hope that that is really what they're doing. I hope it's not. What I'm saying is I hope that person is drunk and then regrets maybe what they're saying, but it's like the people that are just absolutely vile and full of hatred and hiding behind like anonymous profiles. Those are the, I mean, anyway.
That's good job, LinkedIn. Too. LinkedIn largely isn't anonymous. That's a huge one I did not mention.
Yeah, not anonymous. And I think that one is really cool that they did have that idea of this is a business place and they do a pretty good job. And I think the community does a good job too of also kind of getting the engagement on the right posts, right? So if someone were to come in and start doing that, they'd probably be like, what are you doing? You know, get out of here. And wouldn't last. But fails. You got any fails?
I do. So Twitter gets the fail. I mean, you know, this country is facing a lot of challenges with gun violence happening. Well, most recently, the two recent shootings in Ohio and the other one. El Paso, Texas. And, you know, as usual, it's like become super partisan. And although it does seem like some Republicans and even Trump is like open to the idea of putting some very logical background check policy in place. So hopefully this time, the like 80th time we've had the same conversation, motivate some people to make some like legislative changes. Because when you poll Americans, all Americans, I don't care if you're conservative or liberal or gun owning or not, like agree on a basic set of things that are like common sense, that if like a person is unstable, they should not have a gun, or you should register when you have your gun and maybe have some like background check to make sure, you know, you don't have a criminal history, and a bunch of things that's like easy that like 90% of people agree on. Anyway, that's not my fail. My fail will be if they don't do anything about it. My fail is for Twitter because they're trying to figure out how to share information and what tweets fit their policy and not. But meanwhile, it's just, you know, this like total shit show. And Mitch McConnell apparently like tweeted some video of all the protesters outside his house, which are like screaming nasty things, which is probably what happens at most protests. But, you know, he's phrasing it as this like, look at the liberals and how mean they are and, you know, how, you know, we've lost civil discourse and all that stuff. And Twitter banned it because it's there's curses and, you know, the same reason they ban any video like that. But then under pressure of him saying like, oh, it's the liberal media that's just banning us, they change their decision and then unbanned it. So I just wish Twitter would pick a stance and stick with it. You know, if something violates your policies, then don't put it on Twitter. Don't feed into this like fake narrative that people are getting banned because they're conservative. They're getting banned because they're saying lies or they're spreading violence. And those are great reasons to ban people. And if you have people who spread violence and misinformation for a living, then they should have to be banned all the time.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, dogpiling on that fail, it looks like the White House has come out with an executive order that is putting the FTC in charge of like social media, and specifically around some of this banning. I guess the greater narrative is like there's conservative bias and therefore we're going to tackle it with the FTC. You know, so this is all bleeding in together with an executive order from the highest power. But that is not my fail. My fail is TikTok. And let me tell you why. I just recently found out they spent $1 billion last year in ad spend, $1 billion. That's roughly $3 million a day. Isn't that insane? Like when you think about it. And so $3 million a day. It was even shown that 13% of all Facebook ads for Android were TikTok ads. Oh my God. 13%. And then it turns out no one is really sticking around. So most people are churning within 30 days. So they get all these amazing download numbers. Everyone's like, oh, it's the fastest growing social media platform. They have over 1 billion users. They have 1 billion downloads, but I'd love to see some daily active user numbers or some monthly active user numbers, because it looks like people are churning. They're coming in, giving it a try, going, what is this? This is like for a 13-year-old, and moving on. So anyway, it'd be fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, I say this almost every week. I haven't tried TikTok yet. I'm afraid of it because it's a Chinese company backed by the Chinese government, who basically very clearly steals information, controls information, and it's state surveillance. This isn't like controversial things I'm saying. It's like literally the Chinese government's position that they control information, and they back TikTok, the company that built TikTok and other apps throughout the years. So like, I already know what type of data they have access to in my phone, like Facebook and Instagram. I don't trust them per se. But I mean, the Chinese government, who I know would love to use that information against my country or to try to, you know, sell me Chinese stuff. Actually, they could try to sell me Chinese stuff. That's fine. It's just nefarious things. So that's one where I just like, I'm a little nervous about Chinese or Russian apps right now, because I know how deep they get into, you know, my personal data. So that's one on TikTok. And then the other is, yeah, I saw these stats too, that like, yeah, they're paying for acquisition through the nose, and then they have a ton of churn. And also, like, there's been this weird movement I've seen on Twitter, even on Quora. I think I saw a question about like, oh, can, you know, is a good time to use TikTok for marketing? And specifically a thread on Twitter, just, I'm like, oh, this is clearly like a misinformation campaign. Like the question was like, is it a good time to try TikTok? And then people were like, yeah, it's really popular with 13-year-olds, and I think I got a good ROI. And I was like, just the way they were talking about it sounded like the way, you know, when you can tell these like misinformation bots about like some American policy, and then you look and it's a Russian bot, when it's like, you know, they took money from the gun lobby, and you're like, they did, really? And then you look and they didn't, and you're like, oh, this, all this bot does is retweet the same story into every time someone mentions gun control. So those are the vibes I've been getting about TikTok on Twitter, that like China's like, oh yeah, we're going to use this Russian election technique on trying to get TikTok into everybody's pocket.
Yeah. And then to also throw out there too, like, don't get me wrong, they are getting tons of acquisition. They're spending a ton to get it, but it's still not really taken off in the U.S., right? And I wonder some of this, if it's just because there is, it's difficult on their app. So I was reading a little bit more about it. Again, haven't downloaded it, but it really is a personalized, you know, 6-second videos to you. It's not really around your friends. It's really around what they think you'll find engaging, what you think would be fun. So the moat is like, how much can you watch? Right. So there is no friends like Facebook, Instagram. You're going on to see your friends, mostly family, mostly. You still got your brands that you follow or your influencers or, you know, whatever that may be. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, complete strangers showing me videos and seeing videos of complete strangers do funny things. I mean, that's fun for how long? Right. So we'll see. It hasn't really taken off. I think I saw like 30, 40 million in the U.S. So it's still a good number to have, but when we think about 1 billion users, that's mostly in China.
Nice. I will sneak in one last thing before we go. Well, I guess two things. One, Google has added podcasts to the search results in organic. So if you search for a podcast and they find one, you could play it directly from your organic search results. So you could go over and search PPC podcast or the PPC show or something, AdStage podcast. And if we show up, maybe you can listen right from Google, which would be amazing. You also can listen on Spotify. We ran our first Spotify ad. I think I mentioned this last week. We've spent $20 of our $250 budget, and we've got 1,400 impressions. We have no clicks yet, so our CTR is zero, and our frequency is one. So 1,378 people have seen the ad one time, which, sure, that's great. That's some brand exposure. So I don't know if that's good or bad yet. We can't track, because if you advertise a podcast, the rules are you need to send your traffic to the Spotify page for your show. Mm. So if we were advertising a brand, they let us put it on a landing page, which is how we originally had it set up. But the landing page with good UTMs, so we could do some tracking. And the landing page is the podcast show. But they were like, ad denied. URL must point at Spotify if you're advertising audio content. So since we have zero clicks, there's not much to measure, so I'm pretty confident it's not driving a ton of traffic quite yet, but it's only been live for a day. So we will see. That's the update on Spotify, if you were wondering.
All right. I was curious. I want to see if we'll get some new subscribers or some new listeners. So let's make it happen.
And if you want more headlines, you could always head over to blog.adsage.io and sign up, or go to Spotify or Google Podcasts or Apple and leave us a review. And you can hear all the latest headlines right in your inbox. Get all the latest headlines right in your inbox and email, or listen to us talk about headlines every time you listen to the podcast. So go do that and enjoy your week.
See you guys.